Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So we had a jam-packed weekend. And yeah. Here were our assignments. May 26th. Self-love is not so vile a sin as self-neglecting. If we were to change self-love, ego's version of caring for the self, to compassion for the self, we'd be much closer to what the Buddha taught. Of course, those who know a bit about what the Buddha taught may hear, but I thought there's no self, conditioned mind, ever the sneaky saboteur. This brings us to a more awkward, yet more accurate phrasing, compassion for the human being. That's what we're going for. Today, notice how self-neglecting is as, and perhaps more selfish and indulgent as the most egocentric self-love. Record and listen. May 27th. Perhaps the most important thing we can undertake toward the reduction of fear is to make it easier for people to accept themselves, to like themselves. This is a connection egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate would really like people not to get. Ego controls human beings through fear and self-hate. People fear the self-hate, judgment, criticism, negativity, heaped upon them when they step outside ego's narrow standards of right, wrong, good, bad. I need to make sure I'm in a constant conversation with conditioned mind so I don't make a mistake or do anything wrong. This positions ego to be in control of my every movement. Today, notice how conditioned mind uses the fear of criticism to control you. Record and listen. May 28th. Just because everything is different doesn't mean that everything has changed. The famous Zen quote is usually employed to describe a degree of awakening. Everything is the same, only completely different. Or as we often say it, everything is the same, only 2 feet off the ground. Nothing about my life has changed. Everything about my perception has changed. Today, notice how often you have that experience. In one moment, everything is wrong, terrible, awful, and in the very next moment, everything is fine. We can make that movement from dark room to light room several times during the same day. Record and listen.
Wow.
Wow. All right. Here's our first.
The weekend is still going on, right?
Yes.
Mm.
Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Sarah.
Hi.
Sarah.
Hi. That was a spectacular set of prompts, and I I feel like I could spend a whole year there on the
right.
MO3. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I'd focus on the first because that's the one that had most of my attention over the last few days. I read that almost... I think within an hour of seeing that footage of Trump pushing aside the I'm so nervous. Oh my gosh, I got to take a deep breath here. Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's breathe.
I know. Okay. And I, you know, there was a lot of debate about it, and I watched the video, and I thought, what a. I think I just saw egocentric karmic conditioning caught on tape. And I could so identify, I guess, with that, what I saw in that imagery of getting so attached to the image of oneself and how they were being perceived in the world that you can lose touch with what's right next to you, the people beside you, the just where you are. You're just so caught in your head. So for me, you know, I could see the preoccupation with how I'm being perceived, and did that sound stupid, or did that, you know, how did that come across, and how that could take me out of the present, and you know, that kind of preoccupation is in a way, it's like being caught up in the image as opposed to the essence of who you are, can be very, very negative and unpleasant for the people around you as much as for yourself.
And uh-huh. I didn't see that what you're referring to, but I certainly know the experience you're referring to. And yes, how often we can find ourselves there, and how easy it is not to realize it, because probably nobody caught it. Nobody videoed it.
Exactly. I was like, thank God I'm not caught on tape.
Yeah, if somebody were walking around behind us videoing us all the time, I'm sure what we saw at the end of the day would be a field day for the voices who want to beat us up.
Right. So yeah. I was trying to see over the weekend, you know, how I get sort of taken out of the present and sort of snatched up by it, and I, you know, there's so many things that I've heard people talk about of, like, you know, getting caught up with internet things or reading or all sorts of distraction. But the one that I seem to get caught in the most is sort of just thinking in my head about various things and playing out different scenarios and imagining what someone else is thinking and then whatever. And I heard on one of the shows you talking about the two-sentence rule, and I wondered if you might explain that, and how, because I have a feeling that that might help me to try to pull out of those.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one for that. So we only allow two sentences on any subject.
Mm.
So if I find that I've got a problem with a coworker, then I can have two sentences on that, and then I know it's time to drop it, so that I can get back here. It's kind of like setting the stage, you know, in case life isn't paying attention. The intelligence that animates kind of drifted off there. It doesn't really understand the problem I'm having. So I'm going to give two sentences to outline it. And then I'm going to get back here so I can allow that intelligence to present me with what it is that I need to see about that situation.
And do you only apply it when you feel that you're obsessing, or is it general? Just could you apply
all the
it
time.
Universally, like anything, all the time?
All
anything,
the time.
Any thought, it only requires two sentences to sum up.
That's right. And more, probably a better way to phrase that is only gets two sentences.
Only gets. Okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
Because that system, you know, is always angling. It is the equivalent of the internet.
Oh, my God.
So it just wants to go from thing to thing to thing to thing. And its only point is to capture and keep the attention. So we don't let it do that. We just, okay, that's good. That's enough. So it's the, if you have a habit of getting lost in the internet, then you set a timer. So I'm gonna research this, whatever it is. I'm going to look into this. And 10 minutes from now, the timer goes off, and I go do something else. Because the odds are good, if I go on longer, I'm just going to start doing that leapfrogging, following conditioned mind from thing to thing to thing.
Could you also apply this in conversation with someone? Like, I'm going to give myself, for what I'm saying, two sentences, or would that be?
Well, it depends on what you see about how you are with that. So if, for instance, you have a tendency to come home at night and go on and on and on about what happened at work that was a problem, two sentences. You know, you can actually, it's sort of as if you're giving a little presentation. And so you want to make your salient points as succinctly and accurately as possible. Now, of course, for me, the very best way to handle all of this is with the recorder, because that does take care of that. So, you know, you and I are getting together, and I want to catch you up on everything that's wrong in my life, which is, if we step back and look at it, often exactly what's happening, right? And so if I handle all of that with the recorder, so that I've heard it, I've seen it, I've recognized it for what it is, now I can actually be present to you.
Completely, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Ashwini.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sarah. The two-second rule. I mean, the two-sentence rule.
Right. Well, two seconds would be
well,
two seconds for conditioned mind. That would be a good rule.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's anyone else's experience, but my experience is that thoughts are energy, and that thoughts gather energy, and thought momentum builds. And so to cut it off, the way we're talking about it is really just that ability to redirect it, the attention, so that the energy is not going towards the conditioned reaction.
Well, that's it. And when it, the energy is not going toward the conditioned reaction, then it's available for the human being.
Yes.
Right? Because that's when we really get it, that ego is farming us, that's our relationship with ego. It works us up, drains off the energy, works us up, drains off the energy, constantly, all day long. And so many of those, just thinking that Sarah was talking about, they are leading to the thing that is going to build enough energy for ego to drain it off. So, yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Margaret from Bishop.
Margaret from?
From Bishop, California.
Bishop. Oh, okay. Hi.
Yes. Hi. Well, I'm appreciating you mentioning the two sentence rule. this is the first time I've called in since this year has started, so I had a holiday today, so I decided to get on the stick and call.
Good, good.
I had a situation last evening where I was with a person who was really heavy into just dissatisfaction, resentment, blaming, and so I've been practicing, you know, not getting caught in that, but also just trying to, you know, maintain presence. And so after we kind of went our separate ways, the conversation went on a little more than sentences. however, there was I was just really grateful because there was still some space in what was going on, and what did drop in was the reminder that, oh, I love, just seeing through the eyes of love, because I was not really feeling that way before, because it's in my personal life and my work life, I have people in both of those situations that can be very, you know, heavily into the being identified and conditioned, and it's not that I certainly don't get that way sometimes, but yeah, something's wrong, not enough, and it's just, on one hand, it's so interesting to watch because it's like, it appears that, oh, everything's going fine, and then with this other person, you know, on the outside, there's comments about gratitude or something's going well, and then you can just like see the shift, and then it's just down that road of something's wrong, not enough.
Yeah, you know, yes, and which is a really important moment, isn't it? Because that's where we can recognize it in ourselves, right? So the person is there, and then you can just watch attention go to conditioned mind. Conditioned mind is now running the show and running the mouth. So one of the things that practice offers, of course, that I think is the very, probably the most helpful tool we have for relationships with external people, and that's reflecting, using the facilitation skills. Because when we're doing that, we'll make you the negative person, okay? So there you are, and I love you, right? It's not, I don't want to reject you. I don't want to not see you. And I don't want my energy pulled into that negativity vortex. So I'm just going to sit there and reflect you. And so I'll reflect, I'll draw you out. I'll ask questions, clarifying questions, and be really interested in you while being able not to give any attention at all to what you're saying because my focus is on facilitating you. So I become a mirror instead of a somebody who's desperately trying not to get pulled into that same negativity vortex. And then...
Yeah, and you know, I think I practiced... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that was... So I was doing some of that, and the one of the little places that I noticed that can draw me in is just this... some urge to, even though I'm reflecting, there's this urge to want to, like, change the situation or fix it or make them feel better.
Help them out.
To help them out in some way and using, you know, the facilitation skills to help them out in some way. And so I'm just, as you were talking about that, I was like, oh, yeah, that is something that happens, is that I can be reflecting, but then there's also just... You know, I just want it all to be okay, too, at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, and which puts us in touch with our assumption that people aren't okay, right? That you know, being in that place is a mistake rather than being in that place is our best opportunity to explore that place, which is being a facilitator for somebody provides. Right, they get to actually hear and see themselves in that place and explore it rather than being pulled out of it or feeling bad about being in that place. And then, to me, the thing that we want to add to that is when we leave, because you can feel that slow slide, right, that we've been fighting throughout the whole interaction, right? And then conditioning is going to come after us. Right. The first part is, what is wrong with him? My God. I mean, there he is talking about being grateful, and he's the most ungrateful. Right. And then, of course, the next level is, and how about you? You were not a whatever it is. And so to pull out that recorder and do for me what I was attempting to do for the other person, to be a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
That can see all of that conditioning happening to me in the same way and really keep that disidentified distance that enables us to observe.
That's a very helpful reminder. One of the things that also dropped in as a reminder and has been, you know, over the last few weeks is just the reminder that each person is up for their own life, and they are perfectly capable, and that is their best opportunity to end suffering. And that reminder, when it drops in, has definitely been helpful to just to be able to stay centered myself.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
That realization, holding that awareness that everyone is equal to their lives. We're all working out our own salvation as diligently as we can. We don't know where anybody else is. We don't know what they're seeing, learning. You know, they could be a bodhisattva for me, right? So they're going to come and sit down across from me and have this conversation. And I get to see what I do with it. A really helpful perspective for us to have rather than me deciding where other people are and what they need and how to help or not, for them to be a mirror for me to see where I need to be focusing in practice. Leads to gratitude.
It does lead to gratitude, and I just appreciate having this conversation because it is very easy to see things in other people, and then, you know, and I see it in myself at times, but it's also much easier to see in other people and much more challenging to turn it on ourselves.
Exactly, to see it as a projection. Boy, that's the deal, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Margaret.
Thank you so much.
Glad you had the
thank
day
you.
Off today.
Me too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Margaret. I just
That was very, very one of those practically profound conversations, Sherry, and it brought all this, the all three assignments together in such a beautiful way. If I may reflect that when we are around negative energy, the conditioned impulse is to try to get away from it or fix it or make it better, mm-hmm. but we have that opportunity to facilitate that interaction and reflect for someone else where they are so they can explore it without it, without anything wrong. And it's that mm-hmm. that place of, and then not indulging the self-hate at the end of it, is that mm-hmm. self-neglecting, right? Anything that self-love and self-neglecting is in a way tied into that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That there's an indulgence of the self in a way, in that way of self-hate, whether it's projected outward or inward, and the dropping of the self is what allows us to facilitate the interaction and be appreciative yeah. of the fact that what we're here is the next assignment is acceptance. That if we uh-huh. can facilitate someone to an acceptance of themselves or acceptance simply that this is the situation there is for me and for that person without uh-huh. going to that there's something wrong, it just uh-huh. relieves all of that energy, bringing us to the third assignment, which is nothing has changed, but everything is different. I'm not in that place of
that's great, yeah.
neglect, yeah. right? I'm not in that place of, oh, my God, this is a horrible interaction. I don't want to be around this person. How can I get out? And then after that interaction is over, that conversation about, oh, my God, what a horrible place this is, and I don't ever want to see her again, and I had a horrible time. And if you facilitate that interaction, the energy gets managed in such an exquisite
yes.
way. And our experience
yeah.
of the whole thing is different.
Yeah. And for the likelihood is for both of us, right? Because
yes.
to be accepted and received and embraced in that way is what I've been looking for all my life. So if I can be in this filthy mood because of whatever is going on in my life, or conditioning is talking me into it, you know, the more you listen to me, the more I'm going to tell you everything that's wrong in my life. And if that can all be accepted and embraced and not taken in and not believed, then I can just lay that down. We both can just lay that down, walk off, and leave it there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
The process view of life.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Which is a happy view, because in that process view, there isn't anything wrong. All that's happening is we're each having our best opportunity to wake up and end suffering. That's all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here is our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Good morning. It's Virginia here.
Good morning, Virginia. Virginia.
Good morning, Ashwini. Good morning, Sherry. Hi. Well, I'm just here and in the queue, and I was interested in how Ashwini was just tying those three quotes together. And I'm not sure I grokked it all, but I think it's kind of cool. And I just will say what my experience was with yesterday's quote. And I'd be interested to see how that kind of fits in, because I think it has something to do with compassion, but yesterday, I, you know, the idea about the movement between the dark room and the light room is really not that. It's a subtle, small. It's a small movement. It's not.
Yes.
Just a small movement. And I just noticed that, you know, at any given time, if I'm not paying attention, I can be in the dark room. excuse me. And it doesn't. It seems like for me, it takes a little bit of. A little, just really doing some basic things like exercise, meditation, and doing the things that take care of me. It doesn't even have to be a lot of things, but if I can bump, you know, kind of get past that little bump, then I can be in the light room. And like yesterday, I was even just, I had a commitment to spend 10 minutes cleaning up off my desk, and I did it. And while I was listening to a recording, and even that, it was just so palpable how the switch happened. I mean, it just happened. with that, it's like showing up for myself or for life,
yes.
I guess. I don't know. You can help me out with
May
this.
May I?
Something,
yeah. Because the points that you're making are really important points for each one of them for us to get, I think. So you made a commitment to spend 10 minutes cleaning up your desk. So to make that commitment, you had to be here.
Mm.
To keep that commitment, you had to be here. So you
yes.
were already in the Lightroom when you made that commitment and when you chose to keep that commitment. But I think what you're seeing that is a really subtle place for us to look. So you pop out of any darkroom negativity in order to keep your commitment to spend 10 minutes cleaning up your desk. And what will happen, so there you are. You're in the Lightroom, and it's much like what Margaret was just talking about in the conversation, right? So
mm-hmm.
you're doing it, but part of the attention is going to conditioned mind with its stories, and they're probably below the radar, right? There's subliminal messages coming in that this you don't like to do this, you don't want to do this, this is hard, it doesn't matter, you're not going to keep it up anyway, you're never going to be a tidy, organized desk person, whatever the messages mm-hmm. are, right? And mm-hmm. so that is just constantly draining the attention mm-hmm. and awareness away from what you're actually doing. And that's why it seems like it doesn't, for a lot of people, it seems like it doesn't work. Because you get finished with the 10 minutes, the buzzer goes off mm-hmm. or whatever it is, and nothing has yeah. really changed for you. Because mm-hmm. immediately you turn attention to conditioned mind and it says, yeah, well, that was a waste or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm pointing at with this?
Yeah.
And so the movement that you're catching on to is a total commitment to be where you are doing what you're doing, which is the closest to multitasking we meditators want to get. And that is you're listening to a recording as you're cleaning up your desk. So attention is going back and forth between cleaning up your desk and the recording instead of cleaning up your desk and the natter in conditioned mind.
Yes. I put the period at the end of that sentence. That's exactly it, Sherry. Just to reflect back a little bit, that in the normal, if I was just going to do it, I would be persecuted or there would be voices discussing evaluating and telling me things
yep.
about the cleaning off of the desk. I listened to the Unconditional Love recording, and it's just one sentence that repeats over and over. So mm-hmm. It wasn't distracting. It just sets a tone. And like you mm-hmm. said, it gives attention another place to be.
Yes. Yes. And when you mm-hmm. get finished with that, you really have an experience of being in the Lightroom.
Yes.
Right? So with the I can't remember how you phrased it, but there was an indication, of sort of time and that sort of thing. And one of the things that we can do, if we do it wholeheartedly with full participation and absolute attention, you could just stop periodically and dance for 3 minutes. You'd be in the Lightroom. It sounds like you know that experience.
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because after I had the experience at the desk, that's what I did. I felt so good, and it was and I was clearing off the desk. I ran across a note or a piece of paper that had that on it, and then so I went and put on some music, and I spent the afternoon. And I didn't spend the whole afternoon, but in between tasks, I would dance then.
Uh huh. Yes,
and
Virginia,
the
important part of that for all of us, because this all goes together, right? So in the normal conditioning is controlling us way of life, you would finish cleaning the desk and you would get nothing out of that. Because if there would just be a story of this is not going to last for 5 minutes because you're a sloppy little pig and you're going to make a mess of this in no time flat, just give up, right? And that's where the energy of cleaning up the desk would go into the next. Or, you know, okay, now you need to go clean up your bedroom and what about the closet and, right? And the energy just gets sucked away. But when you dance, then you get to have that energy for you.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Sherry, because you're really, you're just describing it so perfectly. Yes, that was my experience. Exactly.
Yeah. And then if the closet is the next thing, you go to tackle the closet with all of this energy. In the same way, you're listening to a recording and you're conscious. You know that you're practicing. You're not getting pulled off into, you know, this is just another day of chores. No. Right. I'm doing awareness practice. So I'm listening to the recording. I'm watching where my hands are, my feet. I'm watching the whole process go on. I'm feeling that energy. It's just building. Pretty soon I get so wound up, I just need to go dance to dissipate some of this energy in a really positive way for me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly. Oh, so much about what you said. I want to go now, Sherry, because I see the time. But
you got to dance.
Thank you.
You got to go dance. Okay.
Well, what I heard at the retreat last month was, like, I want to have, I think this is where I heard it, but maybe I heard it on the show. I want to have the experience. Rather than get the thing done, I want to have the experience.
I want to enjoy it. I want to enjoy taking care of me, my life, the things that support me.
Yeah.
I want to love every one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Virginia.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Thanks,
go happy.
Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Go happy.
Bye-bye. You know, Sherry, just briefly before we finish the show with our next assignment. I think what Virginia was pointing us to is so important, that presence has many flavors. There's a presence that is cleaning the desk, and then there's presence that is listening to the recording. And that might not feel like high energy, but when that energy is released from being present in those ways, then having the experience of that energy is in the dance. And that's a different experience of presence. But that's an energetic experience of presence. And to me, the miracle just that I'm looking at right now is how much the energy of being here is colorless and takes on whatever color there is.
Uh-huh. I love that. Colors and flavors.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very different experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gosh, that is so nuanced and beautiful. That would inspire a person to go do something in order to have that experience of the energy, the awareness, the attention is colorless, as you say. It's neutral, and then the flavors, the colors that come with whatever it is that's being, I can't finish that sentence. I'll let you know
being
tomorrow.
Being experienced.
Yes. I know the experience. I don't know the end of the sentence. But let's all practice it, and then we'll know tomorrow how we want to talk about it. Or we won't need to. We'll just say
we'll just give each other flowers.
Colors. Right. All right. Thank you.
Well, here's the assignment, which actually speaks to that. Things do not change. We change.
Mm.
The briefest perusal of history will tell us that nothing has changed in the history of humanity except gadgets. Human nature has been the same for as long as we've had humans. There's greed, hate, and delusion right alongside generosity and kindness. And, of course, that's not just happening in them. We can find these same impulses and behaviors inside ourselves in any given moment. With awareness, the growing presence of consciousness and compassion, we find ourselves less drawn to ego, selfishness, and cruelty. We change in thought, word, and deed. Today, consider how your changes in conscious awareness have resulted in a changed perception of people and events. Record and listen.
Wow. I think there could not be a better time in history for that assignment than right now.
I couldn't
That's
agree with you more.
Yeah. Thank
well,
you, Ashwini.
Thank you. And
Gacho to
happy
you.
Tomorrow.
Go happy. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.